From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hunch of Andy
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It is Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, scrimmage wrap-up. Baseball is at curtains on the season already, not even in April. It's Wake Up WarChant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida. $8.99 daily lunch specials on Mondays. Build your own burger, half-pound Black Angus burger, with your choice of a side dish that could be straight fries or curly fries, maybe onion rings, potato salad, broccoli, side salad, tater tots, or freshly cooked potato chips. Comes with lettuce, tomato, onion, and a pickle. Half-pound Black Angus burger. It's your daily lunch special over at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill on Mondays. Check it out. If you don't have plans for tomorrow on Tuesday, check it out. It's going to be trivia night at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Can't go wrong any day of the week, whether it's socially or I wanted to find some word that started with an S that has with food, Corey, but I failed everybody. So just go to the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, 2475 Appalachian Parkway. WarChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source. It's $29.99 for full premium access to WarChant.com from this very day up until September 1st. Go ahead and sign up. Hit the thumbs up, five-star rating and review, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Corey Clark here, everybody, right? What's up, Corey?
What's up, buddy? How are you? You doing all right?
Yeah, man. Very stressful weekend on the sports books. Watching great basketball, though. It was a great weekend. Great little weekend. How about you, man? Brady bounced back, strong bounce back from Brady this weekend?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but, I made it down to Tallahassee on Saturday in time for the concert we went to on Saturday night. Little Nate Bargatze was at the Civic Center. He's one of our favorite comedians, and Stephanie got me that for Christmas. So that was cool. And then, went over to CP right after that. Went over to Corner Pocket, was there for a couple hours hanging with friends, watching Gonzaga get destroyed. It was a good night. It was a good night by all.
Yeah, we profited, me and my buddies, off Gonzaga beating UCLA, which felt a little bit, I felt a little bit guilty on it. I had no business beating UCLA, but we took the win. We took that, and then we bet the live line. We had, like, FAU plus 6.5 because they were down 4 points in the first half. I'm like, hey, let's just take that, too. And I forgot what the third one was, but that was like the only parlay of the 7 that we've done this year, and 7 is underselling. We've probably done 10, and we've only won 1. But it felt great. That one day, that one shining moment of ours, it felt amazing. What would have felt amazing was to be out at scrimmage Saturday and watch the Noles going at it, sharpening iron, getting prepared for the upcoming season, but it's closed to the media. It's also closed to you folks at home. But through our own knowledge of interpreting Mike Norvell and the coaches, because we spoke to them for so many times, for so many years now, Corey, can you believe it? Golly, 4 years. Year 4 we're coming up on. I think we're probably able to glean some sort of stuff from them. It was anything that kind of stood out to you, but I guess maybe before that, how much of how we kind of, interpret the highlights that Mike Norvell and the coaching staff gave us, do we need to maybe also kind of realize that, they said Jordan Travis wasn't available. He's been performing at an elite level, everybody. It's fine. They want to get the younger guys involved. So by virtue of that, the defense is already kind of a leg up. And then as we start hearing about more guys sort of lower on the depth chart having good days, we have to also realize that they're going up against a defense that is just increasingly thin once you get past the second team. Maybe that's just the cynic in me, but my enthusiasm was tempered. How was your enthusiasm after hearing from Coach on Saturday?
Well, my enthusiasm's never all sky high after a scrimmage in March. Look, there's context, right? Like, the defensive line dominated. It sounds like, anyway, they definitely controlled if you want to call it ones versus ones or whatever, it sounds like the defense and the defensive line in particular kind of controlled what was going on. That's to be expected. And it also does have something to do with the quarterback. Like, look, man, Jordan Travis can nullify a defensive line a little bit, just his presence back there. Plus, he gets rid of the ball quickly. He sees it quicker. So a defensive line's impact wouldn't be as much on a veteran, experienced, good elite quarterback like Jordan Travis as it would be guys that haven't played a lot of college football. So, I think if you're looking at it from a Florida State fans perspective and you're trying to glean and read between lines, I think you're okay with the defense playing much better. I think you would be, again, you want to hear about touchdowns and long runs and all that stuff. It's great, but for this team to reach what it needs, we know the offense will be fine. The defense has to be better than it was. And it was pretty good, all things considered, last year. But it has to be better than it was to get where they want to go. So I think that's nothing but positive to hear anything from the defense. Like, it doesn't sound like, I don't know that they scored on the defense, the first team anyway. If they did, it wasn't much. You know, I don't know who Rodney Hill's runs came against, but it, like you said, it probably wasn't Fabian Lovett and Jared Verse out there. So that's good, right? All things considered, you'd rather hear that. You'd rather hear your offensive-minded head coach come in there and kind of lament that the offense couldn't get anything going and praise the defense. I think in March, I think really any time, honestly, that's a good sign.
Yeah. Let's keep it with the defense then, Corey. Mike Norvell called Greedy Vance one of the stars so far of the spring. Patrick Payton dubbed the most improved player on the team, period, it sounds like, from Adam Fuller, although, I mean, Adam Fuller isn't grading offensive players. To hear guys at those positions, which, you know, you can never have too many cover corners or defensive backs, as Coach Fuller refers to them as, because everyone's got to be able to cover and tackle. But defensive end, cornerback, two of those guys being kind of identified as players that are really making significant strides, making an impact, that certainly buoys your belief in the defense, because we know what we got in Jared Verse. We believe in what they have on the interior. Maybe, you know, we like what they have at cornerback, but maybe a little bit leery of just how it's all going to kind of come together. That was really encouraging to hear that Patrick Payton continues to really grow, and they you know, they call him the most improved player on the team, and the head coach calls Greedy Vance the star so far of the spring. Again, an offensive-minded guy tipping his cap to the other side of the ball. Just more kind of evidence that things are trending well, at least at this point in the spring, right?
Well, yeah, for sure. And look, man, Patrick Payton might be that is a very important cog on this team. If he can become the guy that it's in there, you know, I don't think it's a, you know, I don't think it's coach speak. I don't think it's trying to build him up. We've watched him. He has been good. If he's the most improved player on the spring, he's not coming from an awful place. You know what I mean? It's not like he went from, you know, crappy to, you know, below average. He was already a pretty good college football player. And if he's the most improved, I mean, he won the Defensive Rookie of the Year for the conference. So if he's improved that much, man, what are you expecting? Is he first, second team, all ACC? Can he reach that level? As I mean, he's a redshirt sophomore. It's not like this is his first year. That happens. Hell, he's draft eligible. So this technically is a money year for him. If he can reach that level to be like an all-conference type player to go along with what you already know you have, man, that, again, you're talking about, you know, an elite defensive line at that point, health staying what it is. I mean, you were talking about a first-round pick at one defensive end, another guy who's probably an NFL player and Patrick Payton on the other side, and then also you got what you got in the middle. That's a really good defensive line. So, yeah, man, I think, again, Florida State fans, it's cool to hear about Vandravius Jacobs, and we'll get to him. It's cool to hear Rodney Hill having a big day, but I'm just telling you, to hear them talk about Patrick Payton like that should just warm your cockles. Should get the cockles all warm that you have another maybe impact / NFL defensive lineman on your hands. And it's not like it's found money, because you knew he was good, he was developing. But if he becomes one of these guys, a Jared Verse type, even a Keir Thomas type, as far as production, I know they're different kinds of players, but just the production, you can't overstate how important that is. And then, yeah, same thing with Greedy Vance, man. It goes back to Greedy Vance was already coming from a pretty good place. He was already pretty good. He finished last season really good. So for him to then take another step and be considered one of the stars of the spring by the head coach, that again, that's just another because he was kind of a guy, especially with Cyprus coming over, that you're like, where is he fit? Like, he wasn't forgotten necessarily, but again, he was kind of flying under the radar, even as we talked about this spring and like, or talked about this team in January and February. Well, he's probably going to start somewhere on this defense, in this defensive backfield. I would assume nickel corner, but he's playing regular corner too. And I just think that that's nothing but a plus when you have a guy playing at that level at a spot like that, it, with so much experience, and has done it on the in that stadium. It's a good thing all around, man. I guess I was more encouraged from the scrimmage than I thought I would be.
There we go.
Yeah.
It was good to hear Adam Fuller, I don't know, I think kind of maybe acknowledge that Fentrell Cyprus is still trying to get his legs underneath of him and kind of figure things out. And, you know, he mentioned, you know, he's going to be there for us. They're still they're going to rely on him to be part of the puzzle for them. Says he has a chance, or rather, that KJ Kirkland has a chance, but we'll get to him here in a second. But, I mean, the fact that he's talking about a guy like Fentrell believes that he's going to be there for us. You know, Omarion Cooper is trying to figure out safety a little bit, but, you know, Adam Fuller says that that's, you know, he understands the narrative of people like us talking about the move to safety, but he's still just, you know, he's going to be available and pretty much anywhere they need him to be. And he's a guy that he also believes is going to be there for them later on the season. I mean, those are the sort of things that I kind of took away the most, I think, from the Saturday scrimmage, because obviously we weren't able to watch it. And hearing Adam Fuller talk about, you know, when he's like, these guys are going to help us win games this year, that's pretty high praise, I think, at least we're at this point in the spring. So to know that Duke Cooper is going to be part of the puzzle and help out, and the fact that, again, I don't think Fentrell Sharpless has looked really that great relative to what we thought he was going to be. Like, he's the number two overall prospect in the portal. Just thought that he was going to have a certain kind of aura around him when you saw him on the field, and he just hasn't had that so far. Adam Fuller, I don't know, I think in so many words has kind of admitted that, but they remain confident in him. So that, you know, kind of quells any doubts I had about him. So to know that the secondary is coming along strong and we're not hearing about anything weak in the safety side of things, that to me has been, that was the biggest sort of boon, I guess, from Saturday's comments. And then you got KJ Kirkland too, Corey. So young guys, newcomers, transfers, everybody's making an impact in that secondary. Kirkland's a guy they say has a chance to help them. So, you know, having the secondary being able to rise up, I guess, this early on, another just part of what we need this defense to do if they want to, you know, again, be a little bit better than they were last year.
Well, yeah, and the issue last year with the secondary was 7 interceptions total. That's 3 by Greedy Vance, who wasn't even a starter, although, like I said, he probably will be this year. When it comes to Fentrell Sharpless, though, I think that's an interesting topic because, yeah, he has not looked great. And we're out there, we're allowed to comment on this. He has not looked great in one-on-one drills, right?
Right.
He just hasn't. But playing corner, it's a team sport, but it's also a team position. Like, he might be really good in team defense. We don't know.
We've seen 7 on 7, 11 on 11. It's been marginally better, but I understand what you're trying to get to. I just want to
remember him giving up.
He did on Friday. He did on Friday.
Yeah. Oh, well, you mean Thursday?
Yeah. Sorry. Thursday. Yeah.
But it's you know, the scrimmage, the practices that I've seen, it's not like he's getting torched in 7-on-7 or 11-on-11. Like, there's different roles that you have to play at corner. You have different responsibilities. Maybe he's not the best keeping up with Ja'Kai Douglas cornerback, but that doesn't mean when the game is being played. Clearly, I mean, if you just go, I mean, he played in the same conference as Florida State. It's not like he was playing less competition or weaker competition. Clearly, when the lights are on and the game is being played, he's proven he can play. So it's just a matter of maybe fitting in. And again, I don't, you know, look, man, this time last year, Omarion Cooper didn't get beat by anyone on one-on-ones. That certainly wasn't a predictor of great success when the season started. So him getting beat in one-on-ones, again, it's not what you want, but I just don't see it. I don't see it in 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 to not think that I just don't want people to think, oh man, does this kid a bust? It's been six practices, four that we've gotten to see. Or five that we've gotten to see. I'm not worried that he's terrible. He has not been an All-American through five practices, but again, we're in March. So we'll see. He might end up... I'm basically trying to cover our bases, Aslan, in case he wins the Thorpe this year.
Yeah.
And no, people are going to be like, oh, you remember those idiots on Wake Up War Chant downplaying him?
Yeah, no, I'm just... Again, he has not looked the part of the number two overall prospect in the portal, but his coach that's responsible for putting him in the right places... believes in the guy, knows that he's going to be there for them towards the end of the season when they're going to need him. So, again, that's what made me feel good about it, because if he would have hemmed and hawed or pivoted and talked about somebody else, but he kind of took that one head on, and that, again, that kind of made me feel a little bit better. To bring it back down to the defensive line, just how – I don't know if we could even really oversell, if it's possible to oversell, just how important it would be for Patrick Payne to make another step. Because, you know, Adam Fuller talked about Gilbert Edmond being a guy that's taken some good strides – you know, believes that he's far from his ceiling. He's got the longest way to go to kind of maximize his potential, which makes you think, all right, you know, we'll get there hopefully here in the next few months, not years. But then there's the internet whispers about them maybe not having everybody present and accounted for at the defensive end spot. Jaden Jones is hurt. He's being limited. Lamont Green Jr. is probably not somebody you're counting on stepping in year one and being part of your rotation. So to know that Peyton is stepping up, that's so huge. And then to hear Coach talk about Dennis Briggs in the way he did, which, you know, people thought that, like, you know, Coach Fuller dunked on him. It's like, I'm fine. I wanted to hear that Dennis Briggs is doing well. But, man, like, that defensive end spot, Patrick Payne really does need to take a step forward. And I wonder if Dennis Briggs is an option there now, too, and that they talk about his upside being tremendous and him having an NFL future. And I think Fuller also talked about there's going to be several situations this year where they're going to have four defensive tackles on the field. They'll have four defensive ends on the field. Like, they'll be that multiple. So to have Peyton kind of on the rise and then hear Dennis Briggs is finally over his injury and finally kind of making some headway. Maybe some – at least Briggs is one of the pieces of the puzzle that we haven't talked about, but could be a really important part if they're this thin at defensive end right now.
I mean, maybe. We'll see. Oh, okay. I think if something happens and they're thin at defensive end, Dennis Briggs is not the answer. The transfer portal is the answer. Go get someone. I think Briggs' only chance to impact this team, in my opinion, maybe defensive end and goal line type settings or third and ones. But, you know, I don't foresee him being a difference maker outside. They've actually told him now, don't, they've changed his position. He finally knows what he's supposed to play, and then you're going to switch him back again.
Right.
Just let the kid play one position, right, and stay with it and see if he can become something. And then I just think the portal's wide open. The portal will be open again. So if you need to go add somebody to that position, there will be pretty good candidates out there that are, in my opinion, will be better and more ready to help you at the defensive end than Dennis Briggs. That's just me. That's just me spitballing.
What makes your ideas that much better, even when you're spitballing, is being focused. VitaminEnergy.com has got a focus potion that energizes you up to 7 hours. It's packed with vitamins and it tastes great. The tropical infusion flavor is what hit the palate on Thursday for the big guy over here, Corey. Going to have it today as well because, as we all know, Monday, upper body max effort day. Get yourself some of the Vitamin Energy Focus Plus and tropical infusion, multiple flavors, and buy one and get one free when you use the promo code WARCHAMP, B-O-G-O, over at VitaminEnergy.com. The tropical infusion flavor I've already mentioned, there's berry and there's mango, and there's no sugar, so there will be no crash. You'll be energized for up to 7 more hours with brain vitamins. It's an award winner. There's brain vitamins. Energy, focus, and health. VitaminEnergy.com. Promo code WARCHAMP, B-O-G-O. Buy one, get one free. Shake it and take it. VitaminEnergy.com.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So, no Jordan Travis, so we're probably going, I don't know, I'm guessing probably Tate, then AJ, and then Brock Glenn. I think Vandrevious Jacobs was probably not, I mean, based on what we've seen in practice, I don't think he was running with Brock Glenn, which means he was probably going up against scholarship players, and he had a touchdown in the scrimmage, which was great to hear, especially kind of the way that Mike Norvell introed it or presented it about just, yeah, man, he's who we thought he was, and he continues to make plays. The moment isn't big enough, is not too big for him. I mean, you want to talk about a star of the spring. You know, I guess Greedy Vance is probably in line to get more reps, Corey. But, man, Vandrevious Jacobs, if he had a touchdown in the scrimmage, coming off what he did Thursday in practice, you saw him Tuesday in practice, what we saw the first week of practice, definitely a huge, huge piece that's been added to this offense that maybe we didn't expect as a true freshman, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where he finishes, like where as far as where he finishes the spring at, and then how he goes into August. And is he going to be playing against LSU? I mean, is he that good that he's going to be playing in Orlando against that team? I would have never thought that 3 weeks ago or a month ago, certainly when they signed him. But now you look at it and you're like, well, yeah, there. I mean, who knows when Pittman comes back? And this kid has been one of the more impressive receivers you've had. I don't care what gear he is. He gets open, he makes catches, and he makes plays. And in a scrimmage, it was cool, and we talked about it, right, Aslan? We talked about it, like, what names did we want to hear on Saturday? That was a name I listed because I wanted to see if he could carry it over. Like, again, there's nobody in the stands. It's just a glorified practice. We get it, but it is a little different. It is a little different. And for him to do it in practice is one thing, and it's the most important thing right now. But then also in the scrimmage, to carry it over, and to not just make one touchdown, but apparently he made a couple other explosive plays, is how Norvell termed it. That's a good sign. The kid just continues. It's not a fluke. We're six practices in now. This is not a fluke. He's going to play. It kind of reminds me of, now I know Azarie wasn't a star as a freshman, but, you know, he worked himself into that defensive backfield because he was making plays in August, and we're like, man, this kid's probably going to play. And then he did. He played basically half the snaps as a freshman. Last year in the secondary, and maybe Jacobs, now he's probably not going to play half the snaps, but he's going to play. Like, doesn't it seem like he's destined to be, receiver. Yeah. Doesn't it seem like he's destined to be in the rotation? Just the way he's, and our eyes work. Like, we're watching the other receivers and we're watching him, and he certainly fits in. And he's better than some of them already. I mean, you could say that already. Some of the veterans, I think he's leapfrogged. I don't know how at this point you're not expecting him to play this season. Again, maybe not a ton of reps against LSU, but don't you see him being a 15 to 20 catch guy as a true freshman? Maybe more than that.
I could see it, man, because they don't do hockey line changes. But I remember, like, in that Clemson game, I think, second half, like they were kind of maybe still in it, and they had gotten into the red zone. I think it might have been Portier caught a pass, or maybe it was before he caught his touchdown pass. But they did like this whole, like they took Johnny off the field, they got Mike off the field, they put Kentron and Ja'Kai out there, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Like, keep rolling with the guys that have taken you down the field. And sure enough, I think they either threw a touchdown to Ja'Kai or Kentron in that. And you're like, man, like they really are sold on having like certain personnel packages for certain situations at certain times in the game. And I definitely think with what they did with these sort of guys last year and the way Van Jarvis Jacobs is playing this year, I'd be very surprised if they don't find ways to get him on the field. Not because it's a forced behavior, like we have to get this kid on the field because, you know, we want to keep fresh legs out there. It's, all right, we have an idea of, we have a good matchup. There's a certain route that we can really maybe take advantage of with his skill set out there. He's doing enough so early on right now that it's hard to believe that he's not going to keep rising up, and we'll just see how good he is when he's going up against, you know, Renardo and you know, maybe Greedy a little bit more often. But so far, so good for sure. Yeah, he's potentially a preseason top 40 pick at this point, Corey, no?
Yeah, he's up there, man. And I think, he might be the fifth or sixth receiver I list, but he certainly could fight for it. I guess we'll know more in August. I guess we do those things before August. But either way, I think you can look at him and be like, okay, well, the Malik McClain transfer might have dinged you a little bit, but this kid steps right in. Like, they're not exactly the same type of receiver, not the same body type necessarily, but I can't imagine he couldn't replicate McClain's production. I'm sold on the kid. And again, hearing what he did in the scrimmage makes me even more sold. Like, I'm done couching it now. Like, this kid is good. This was I don't want to call him a steal, because wasn't he a 3 or 4 star recruit? I don't know. He wasn't exactly a diamond in the rough, but he wasn't the number one player in the country. He wasn't in the top 10. So this was a really good get. And this kid is, I would be really surprised at this point if he doesn't start for at least 2 years here. Like, he just seems to have it. Whatever it is, he has it. And so, you know, I don't predict that he'll start as a true freshman, but I certainly think he's going to see the field, man. That's a really good hit. And then we'll wait when Hakeem comes around. And I mean, comes around, like, fulfills his potential. Now all of a sudden you're going to look at, oh man, this is going to be just these two guys. And the third receiver hadn't even gotten here yet. Those two guys, man, that's a nice recruiting haul. when your five star isn't even the first freshman receiver we talk about. That's a good spot to be in. So that's a really nice bonus that this offense is going to have, is because he's different than all the other ones, right? Like, yeah. Johnny's his own thing. He's his own unicorn. But this kid runs just differently than the other guys on the field. Like, Winston Wright isn't a burner. He's quick, but he's not a burner. Portier's not a burner. Williamson's probably not what I would describe a burner. Deuce Spann is, but Deuce Spann isn't – he's still not where you want him to be a like a main rotation player, in my opinion. This kid is, man. This is just a different dude. So now that I've gassed him up for the last 5 minutes – just don't fall on your face, Dre. Just don't fall on your face and make me look dumb.
Norvell did say that Hakeem made a couple early plays, so he's out there also performing. Anything to take away from Rodney Hill's performance? And then also we hear about the defensive line playing really well. Does that mean that we think the offensive line wasn't holding up well, Corey?
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that, the offensive line. But, that's, again, it's to be expected. They're mixing and matching on the offensive line with a lot of guys that are probably playing positions they won't play come September. But I'm not worried about it. Again, I know who their coach is. They'll be good. And I think that with Rodney Hill, I think you can take something out of that. Sure. I mean, again, this is a guy that we expect to kind of plug into the Trayshon Ward role yet. That's what we all expect, right? We all think he's going to do that. But until he's done it, we can't just assume it's going to happen. Like, Trayshon Ward was a good college football player, still is. I hope he has a great year at Kansas State. But, that's not just – it's not just plug and play. Like, he's the next Trayshon Ward. He'll be fine. Like, you have to go do it. We think he's got all the potential, but Trayshon Ward has actually done it. He scored touchdowns. He scored a lot of touchdowns in big games. He scored two touchdowns in the bowl game. Like, that's not just – as simple as, okay, we got another running back, he'll do what Trayshon did. So for him to have a big game, like a big scrimmage like that, and to be probably the star of the offense and have, a couple of long runs and do what we hope Rodney Hill's going to do for a long time here, that only builds his confidence and makes him feel like if he's having any question at all about his role and his confidence and how he fits on this team, that certainly has to help, right? For him to be that big play guy and make big plays like that.
Yeah. And then I was trying to get some information out of Coach Atkins about offensive line and where they're at, putting guys in roles, but he wasn't biting on it. So, yeah, I think the fact that probably the defensive line is much more, like, cohesive in terms of who they're going to be right now at this point, the offensive line is not, obviously favors the defensive line. And the fact that Rodney Hill was able to still go out there and bust off a couple of runs, apparently, some really big runs, it just shows you that he's got a special knack to maybe overcome any kind of deficiency in front of him. So always good to hear. How about Brock Glenn? Apparently he was live. No green jersey on him. Chubba Purdy approves this message, I think, Corey.
Right. I don't know about that. Why they felt the need to do that, but that's cool. And again, what Atkins said about him after the scrimmage on Saturday is the stuff that I've been saying about him. And that's just great minds thinking alike. Mm. We all get it. I would say I'm the Alex Atkins of War Chant. Okay. Probably right, wouldn't you say?
Accurate.
But the fact that he says he's so poised and he's so he just is I can't remember the exact wording he used, but it was basically calm, fits, isn't overwhelmed, just looks the part, like looks like he's comfortable out there. That can't be overstated, man, that how important that is for a kid. Like, I just don't think that's normal, much like what Dre Jacobs is doing. I don't think the way Brock Glenn looks in these practices and apparently how he looked in the scrimmage, that because they said he had a good scrimmage, or at least a pretty good scrimmage. Again, we don't know. We don't get any stats, and we don't get any video. But I just think that is more important than even numbers and stats, is just being confident out there, competent even, just looking like a quarterback. And when he gets in the practices that we watch, it just looks, and I'm not trying to kill the kid because AJ Duffy might be awesome, but it looks different than the way AJ Duffy looked last year. And to keep that going further, it looks different than it looked with Tate Rodemaker when he was a true freshman. Like, he's just calm. It's just abnormal to be as calm as he seems to be and execute at the level he executes. And don't just throw it up for grabs every throw. Don't throw it out of bounds because you don't see it right away. Don't just tuck it and run because you don't see it every way. He seems to have some control, when he's out there, even when it's third string or fourth string or whatever, that is really encouraging. And again, we're six practices in. We'll see. He's got a long way to go. He's not Jordan Travis. He's not Tate Rodemaker, but right now. But, man, that is a good sign for a kid that young that should, like you've said, should be getting ready to go to prom to seem that comfortable in a college scrimmage setting, in college practices setting. That's so, yeah, man, I'm high on that kid. I think he has a chance to really maybe honestly compete for the starting spot next year.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Break that one out, producer yep. Ben. Break that one out. Post it all over the internet. Get that one going viral. Yeah, you know, there's different kinds of poise. Probably there's different kinds of patience in the pocket. And there's the, I'm just going to stay in the pocket. And I have a green jersey and I know, I'm just going to keep trying to sit here until something opens up downfield, which saw some of that from one of the quarterbacks on Thursday, and it just kind of made me shake my head where it's like, man, do you have awareness of what's going on? Like, this is not how it's going to happen in real life, man. Like, when that green comes off you, like, you're in the ground right now, you're hurting, and you're still trying to, like, look downfield, like, either get the ball out of your hands or run out of there. But it sounds like that's not the kind of poise that Brock Glenn is showing. But at the same time, Brock Glenn was probably going up against, you know, 80% walk-ons. But again, hey, he's really young. Sometimes some people might say, Corey, that, you know, you can break them before you can make them. So best to maybe just kind of slow play before we unleash possibly what we have with our guy, Brock Glenn. Michael Langston, Talk Recruiting, coming up right after this. The Final Four is set in Houston. It's going down this weekend. You should get over to mybookie.ag and make your bets using the promo code WARCHANT to give yourself an instant cash deposit bonus, giving you more money, more credits to put down on any kind of parlay, futures, bet. Shoot, you can even go into their casino and make some bets. Shout out to our guy Corey Clark. Not always baby picking winners, but like 99% of the time picking winners for his I know some people might groan about it, but he did say that Miami getting 7.5 against Houston was basically just handing out free money. Corey, then, being the Peter Pan that he is, just turned around and gave all that free money to you folks. So hopefully you took advantage of that. Corey will give us another pick or two later on this week to get us ready for March Madness to fully take advantage of it. Who'd have thunk this? FAU or San Diego State will be in the championship game, Corey. What a time to be alive. MyBookie.ag, bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Use that promo code WARCHANT for your instant cash deposit bonus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Greeting, guys. This is Michael Langston, Senior Analyst, Recruiting Analyst for WarChant.com. Certainly, busy weekend with FSU hosting several talented prospects for their first spring scrimmage. We covered a lot of these guys. You can go to the recruiting rep. I cover a lot of them. Just to kick this off, I'll start like four-star offensive lineman Marquise Easley. I've heard the visit went really well. Not sure the fit's kind of there, so I'm not expecting FSU to pursue at this point, but that's certainly a guy that we'll keep track on and see if there's anything there. Now, a guy they do like is three-star offensive lineman John Wayne Oliver. I recently got up with him on Sunday. He talks really highly of FSU. He's going to officially visit FSU in the summer. I think FSU is a major player here. That's a team to watch. They have the momentum right now, I would say, in this recruitment. I think Georgia Tech's another team that's up there, Ole Miss. Plans to visit Mississippi State, Ole Miss. TCU is a team that's probably the biggest competition so far with FSU because it's already set an official visit there in June. I think FSU's will get finalized soon as well. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. Three-star tight end Hubert Calisti came over to FSU. I think this one is really how hard FSU pushes. I think if FSU pushes, I think you could see him in this class. I think it's clear, very certain that FSU is the team that's on his mind the most. It's really just about how much FSU pushes. So I think if there's a push there, I think he's a guy you could see in this class. But with guys like four-star Kylan Fox, four-star tight end committed to Georgia, Landon Thomas, both of those guys I think are the highest guys on their board. So I think there's going to be a little patience with FSU there. I think a guy that they made a big push with over the weekend was four-star defensive end Elias Rudolph. Really raved about the FSU visit, liked the scrimmage, liked how detailed it was. He liked what he saw as far as development and the players with his position at defensive end, and really connected with Coach JP on the visit. So I think they are a major player now in that race. Also, you had defensive end Tyler Atkinson, who visited FSU again, 2026 defensive end. There's a lot of players and a lot of people involved in this, but I think FSU kind of sits in the best spot from what I've seen. Like I said, we got a full breakdown with him. We also caught up with three-star defensive tackle Jamari Fagg. It's a flag. There's a video on him, breaks it down as far as what he has to say about the team, what things really jumped out to him. For those that wanted the update profile on his height and weight, that's been updated. I think he said 6'3", 285. Looks good. Seems to be very locked in with FSU. And then a few more guys is linebacker Monte Wheaton over there out of the Maryland area. He's a guy that I think FSU wanted to see kind of how they connected with him on the visit. I think everything was really good from what I was told. I think an official is going to happen there, and I think FSU is the team that's trending the highest based on what I've heard coming out of the visit. But I think Ole Miss is a major player there, so you can't discount them. And then also you had four-star defensive back Ryan Mack, who also visited FSU. I think FSU made a strong move, pretty strong move, to put themselves very much in this race, if not one of the top teams, if not the top team. I think Miami is certainly a player heavily there, but I think FSU, Miami are the teams that I hear the most. But I think with this visit, it resonated more where it was a lot more personal that he's seen on other schools he's visited, including Miami. So I think they certainly made a big move there. And I think being around Surtain and seeing the way these coaches coach and just the way the intensity of a practice, I really just jumped out to, Max. So those are some of the guys that really that I noticed throughout the day as far as the visit. It's going to be a lot more visits, several visits coming up in April. The majority of them will be guys in on that April 15th spring game. I think you'll see some, top-tier guys like, KJ Bolden, five-star plus on three. He's supposed to visit on April 3rd and the 4th. So that's going to be one of the major visits. And I think you'll see a few more visits in April, but I think most of them are waiting until that, April 15th game. That this is kind of just a breakdown of over the weekend and kind of what I picked up and what I saw. So certainly some good impressions, some good results for FSU. And I think it's going to be bigger because I think you're going to see a lot more probably decisions being made in the month of in the late spring or early summer, especially when these kids start taking official visits. But certainly obviously a positive weekend again for FSU. And like I said, stay tuned to warchant.com. You can go to the premium recruiting board. It has all the recruiting wrap of all these guys. And then also we have features on several guys that are already covered in there, that I went over. And we'll have a feature on John Wayne Oliver coming soon. Like I said, I talked to him earlier today, had some really positive things to say about the FSU visit, his connection with Norvell and Atkins. So a lot more coming up, and then certainly with the upcoming visits, War Channel have you covered.
Tip of the cap to Lonnie and the softball team going on the road, taking down Duke, I think 15th-ranked Duke. They went into an important game on Sunday, rubber match, because Duke had tied things up on the win on Saturday, but they took them down 7-3, so softball running along well. I think women's tennis also had an impressive win over the weekend. And otherwise, non-revenue sports not doing great in the spring right now, Corey.
Well, beach volleyball had a great weekend, right, too. Right. Beat LSU. But yeah, what's the opposite when it comes to the baseball team? What's the opposite of tipping your cap? Because we don't want to do that.
Hiding your face in your hat and your cap or something? Slumping? I don't know. Yeah,
Throwing your hat into the sewer?
So I'm panicking, right? I can panic. Is it fine to panic?
Yes. Of course it is, buddy. Of course it is.
Okay. Outscored 27-8 in the last two games of the series. And they had Friday they had in the palm of their hands. They had it in the palm of their hands, and they couldn't get the last out. I mean, 11 said it so many times. There's no game clock in this game, or there's a pitch clock now, but there's no game clock that's going to rescue you. You need 27 outs, and usually the last one's the hardest to get. I think they were up with one out to go, and then, you know, we get wild pitches, and we're walking guys, and then we have an error, and it goes to extras, and they lose that. And then they don't have White Crawl either, which is just really is the crux of all this. Right, Corey? I don't want to put it all on one guy. It is a team game. I don't know if it's maybe unfair or giving maybe too much credit, but man, they have White Crowell. Friday is a win. And if not, he probably starts Saturday or at least comes in and puts out the fire in the sixth inning as opposed to what happened where you get a ground ball to third base and, you know, you can get out of the inning with an easy throw to home and a tag, but you bounce it. Your catcher can't find it. He can't put the tag down. You got a tie game, and then everything kind of comes loose after that. I mean, they were winning in the sixth inning on the road against a really good team in Virginia. Just – their bullpen is just so unreliable at this point, Corey. I don't know. Outside of just some random miracle changing things, it's hard to see how this gets any better in the short term.
No, this season is in real trouble. It's in real peril. The streak of making the NCAA tournament is in a lot of trouble. This is not me hitting the panic button. They have lost 9 of 10 games, folks. They have lost 9 of 10. And the one game they won was when Crowell pitched. And guess what? Crowell isn't pitching right now. So... when Crowell doesn't pitch, I think their record when Crowell doesn't pitch is like 7-12. And when he does pitch, they're 5-0. But if he's not pitching, they don't have much of a chance. And look, man, they had it not. They were up in the ninth inning with a lead in two outs and nobody on base and two strikes on the hitter. And then Connor Whitaker gets a 2-2 count, ends up walking him. Then the next kid he gets two strikes on, gives up a single. They advance. I don't know how they advanced. Maybe on a wild pitch and then scored on a wild pitch or something. But yeah, you gave them the game there. And you just Ballmeister pitched well.
Yeah.
He is probably your only other reliable guy. There's nobody else out there that you could think, okay, yeah, he can come get us out. And that includes Connor Whitaker. He's had multiple opportunities to prove that he was the guy from last year. It just isn't happening for whatever reason. So yeah, man, they're in real trouble. They don't do anything particularly well. They're a decent offense, but not great. They don't field the ball all that well. They didn't have any errors on Sunday though, Aslan. Yeah, they still lost 15-4, but they didn't have any errors and they only struck out 7 times. They also don't walk. They don't strike anybody out as a staff typically. And they don't walk a lot. Like, so, and the difference between the game, the Sunday game, and again, I get that the baseball is changing and the meat approach of, you know, seemingly taking strikes and only swing at perfect pitches and try to work walks and hit by pitches. I don't know if that's something that's good long term for this program. Or clearly it wasn't. They weren't a good offense here the last few years. But, you know, Virginia had 10 walks on Sunday. And they were hit, I think, 3 times. Florida State had 2 walks. They both struck out 7 times, so it wasn't like a strikeout fest. Florida State had 11 hits, but only 2 walks. Virginia had 15 hits and 10 walks and 3 hit-by-pitches. Now you're talking about 28 base runners in 8 innings. That's how you score 15 runs. Florida State just doesn't get guys on base right now. So hopefully that changes. But look, man, I don't know what you hang your hat on for hope. They have not gotten one quality start on a Sunday all year. Ballmeister is good. Crowell is good. Crowell is great. Ballmeister is probably pretty good, but that's about it. And Tibbs and Jaime Ferrer can hit, and that's about the extent of things. So I don't know. They play Florida on Tuesday. That's in Jacksonville. I don't know how you can imagine they're going to win that game. They just don't have the arms. He's right. They just don't have the arms. And I think what we have to do is look at this baseball season. Much like we looked at, well, there's two ways it could go, right? Like the bowl streak ended under Taggart. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, well, you know, those were mostly Jimbo's players. Let Taggart get his guys in. Well, that didn't happen. He was gone in 12 months. Not even that, 11 or 10 months. But, and then Norvell takes over, an even worse program that Taggart inherited. And that first season was a mess, not just because of COVID. The roster was bad. Everything was bad. It was a mess. And people rightly wondered after he started his career 3-10, well, can this guy coach? Is he over his head? And clearly he wasn't. He's turned it around. They were good last year, and they're going to be good again this year. And then you look at Link Jarrett. Like, clearly Link Jarrett can coach. He can coach to Omaha. He can get you to Omaha. He can sustain and turn around mid-major programs like UNC Greensboro, and then he can go turn Notre Dame into an Omaha team. So we know he's got the goods, but I feel like this year is going to be his 2020 Norvell. I don't want it to be the 2018 Taggart, and I don't think it would be. It's not like he'd have any chance of getting fired next year, but you just hope this is rock bottom, and that pretty soon you start taking steps upward, because you can't. Virginia's good, man. They're 22-2. But, I mean, to get completely humiliated the last 2 days and not even compete, that's a bad sign for Florida State. Like, the talent isn't what it should be. That's clear. The best talent, I think, is young players. You know, I'm talking about, you know, Cam Smith, Kamaka, you guys know all the young players. Ross, I think those are good guys in the offense. But, man, I don't know what they do about pitching except hit the portal and hit it hard next year. And I think he will. I think he realizes that now.
Yeah, I mean, it was 3-3 going into the bottom of the sixth on Saturday. Again, they lost by one run on Friday night. So, I mean, as bad as it ended up being on Saturday and Sunday, you know, they were in the fight on Saturday. I mean, the only thing that you can maybe kind of hang your hat on is that, I mean, the more of these games that they're playing, for better or worse, they're getting a better idea of, like, who they cannot count on, maybe. I don't know if they found anybody that they can count on, but they certainly are finding out guys they absolutely cannot count on. And it's absolutely hindsight. I think I sent the group text with you and Ira, but, you know, like, Carson Montgomery came in on Saturday and actually pitched pretty well. I mean, I think he allowed 6 runs. It looks horrible, but through 5 1/3, but he probably would have been able to get you out of the game on Friday night. Like, he probably could have given you 2 innings. He was clean through like 3 innings, and then the wheels kind of came off of him. So maybe if you have a better idea that, like, Carson Montgomery can be like a poor man's Wyatt Crowell for you, he can come in and put out maybe a couple of those fires. Because, yeah, I mean, the Friday is just what shot them in the foot. I mean, I know they came out and played pretty well on Saturday, but when you lose Friday in that manner, that's a heartbreaker, man. So I don't know if maybe they've gotten a better idea that maybe Ryan Dennison, Carson, those are guys that can maybe go ahead and get 6 outs from, and, you know, Jackson can maybe stretch you into 6 innings, and then you can just kind of piece the rest of it together and figure it out. But, I mean, that's the only kind of silver lining I could find. That was, I thought Carson Montgomery at least threw well for about, he got you at least 9 outs cleanly, it felt like. So if Ballmeister can carry enough weight for you on Fridays, maybe that's your path forward. And then obviously you just need Wyatt Crowell to get healthy in some, I don't know, either healthy enough to be what he was last year or healthy enough to be what you need him to be now. And that's some guy that's going to give you quality starts. So,
yeah, man, but when you go into a weekend like they do right now, especially if they don't know if they're going to have Crowell, Ballmeister's a nice pitcher. In the ACC, he's probably a, you know, average for a Friday night guy. But he's got a good arm. He's going to pitch in professional baseball. He might make the major leagues right now. Just, I'm talking about the production you're getting from him now. What is he now? He's got a 4.62 ERA. So that's what we're dealing with. Not great. They don't, other than Wyatt. So, but anyway, you go into a weekend saying, okay, we'll get 5 innings from him. Mm-hmm. Well, you still got 22 innings to go, and you've got nobody, that literally nobody that you look down in that bullpen and say, that's the option. That's the guy. Some of them have had nice moments. All of them have had terrible moments. You can't trust any of them. So that's a bit of an issue, is all. Yeah, I'm looking at these ERAs. Like, you know, Ballmeister's 4.62. Connor Whitaker's 4.85. Montgomery's 7.77. These are guys you were counting on to be the studs of the staff. You know, Crowell's got a 0.87. Yeah, he's awesome. Everybody else, Ben Barrett's 2.79. Ben Barrett's probably going to have to pitch more. But other than that, everybody but Crowell and Ben Barrett that have pitched like multiple games all have an ERA over 3, and all but them and Ryan Dennison have an ERA over 4. So you're talking about, I don't know what that is, 11 of your 14 guys all have an ERA over 4. 6 of them have an ERA over 7. Like, it's remarkable how bad it is. And they lost some guys, man. I know we killed Scolaro last year. Yeah. They could. They
Come
would
back,
love
Jonah.
A Scolaro.
Come back, Jonah.
I mean, the Scolaro would be the ace on this staff right now, man. Yeah. He's going to give up a couple of bombs, but he can pit. He can get outs. He can get you 12 outs. Or 9 outs. There's nobody on this team right now that you trust other than Crowell to get you and Baumeister to get you 9 outs in a game. So yeah, they're in real bad shape, and it doesn't get easier. Like, they got Florida again on Tuesday, you know, and it's the ACC. I mean, Louisville's still ahead of them.
Got Miami
North
this
Carolina's
weekend.
North still ahead of them.
In Coral Gables, Miami's 17th right now in the country, so.
Yeah, that's probably not going to be easy, Aslan, at Miami. No. I'm not expecting them to go down there and sweep the Canes. So, yeah, man, they're in a real bad spot right now.
All right. Well, and we don't know the answers. We don't know the answers, everybody, so no, tune
sorry.
In. We'll see how it goes. But it's baseball. You're one crazy, weird weekend from, I don't know, man, if they somehow beat Florida and they win the series against Miami, man, I'll feel amazing. But I just don't know how likely that is.
Somehow. The correct word there is somehow. Like, how would they do that? I don't see it happening.
All right. Well, I see us doing another show happening later this week. Several more. Florida State off today, but they'll be back practicing on Tuesday. So they go Tuesday, Thursday, and scrimmage on Saturday, I think, from here on out up until the spring showcase April 15th. Or is that tax day? I'm thinking about April 15th.
No, April 15th. You're right. April 15th, yep.
Right on. So in the meantime, though, I'm pretty sure we'll do the Monday smash, some combination, maybe Tom and Jeff, Tom and Ira, Ira and Jeff, Jeff and Corey. Who knows? Tune in, though. It usually goes on, I think it's 7 o'clock, the smash.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jeff
yep.
Cameron Show, 1 to 3 o'clock, 93.3 FM, as well as War Chant TV. That's our YouTube channel you should subscribe to. It's totally free. Check out the premium recruiting board for all your recruiting news and notes, and we'll squeeze every last bit of the scrimmage notes out over on warchant.com, the ultimate Semmel sports source. So stay tuned and connected for that. For Corey, I'm Aslan. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.